You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's stance on Israel's war in Gaza, for many foreign policy experts, has been anything but clear. Foreign Minister Winston Peters has called for a humanitarian ceasefire, but has been reluctant to officially recognize a Palestinian state. This is on top of the deployment of New Zealand Defense Force naval personnel to the Red Sea to assist the United States in combating the Houthis, whose blockade was put in place in opposition to Israel's bombardment of the Gaza Strip. I spoke to Robert G. Patman from the University of Otago to discuss New Zealand's ambiguous stance on the war in Gaza and the steps that we should take to clarify our position.
How would you describe New Zealand's stance on the war in Gaza and occupation of Palestine?
I think to date, the policy of the National-led coalition government seems caught between a desire for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and its stated push for closer alignment with traditional allies like the United States. So in a sense, the policy comes across as being morally and legally ambivalent about the Gaza catastrophe. And the word catastrophe is not mine. That's the term used by Mr. Peters, the foreign minister.
How has New Zealand historically aligned itself regarding the situation in Palestine?
Historically, it's been a big supporter of the idea of a Palestinian state, and that's been a long-standing position. Indeed, New Zealand enthusiasm for the idea of a two-state solution actually led to quite a diplomatic spat between the national government. I think it was in 2016 when New Zealand was on the Security Council. It sponsored a resolution on the UN Security Council calling for a reaffirmation of a two-state solution. That led to considerable tension with the Netanyahu government. Mr. Netanyahu, as Prime Minister at that time, has made no secret of the fact that he opposes a two-state solution. He does not recognize the need for a Palestinian state. And that actually puts him at loggerheads with the United States as well, which is also backing a two-state solution. So, yeah, I think you could describe New Zealand's position historically as being very supportive of the Palestinians.
If New Zealand has historically been supportive of a two-state solution, why do you think that the current national-led coalition government is leaning further towards Washington's stance?
Well, there's a bit of a dichotomy here, or juxtaposition. On the one hand, New Zealand was the only member of the Five Eyes on the 27th of October last year, shortly after the dreadful Hamas attack, terrorist attack on Israel. It was the only member of the Five Eyes to support the call in the UN General Assembly for an immediate humanitarian truce. And so probably alone among the Western countries, along with Ireland, it was coming out in support of an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. It continued that position in the UN. And interestingly, in December, New Zealand co-sponsored a resolution which didn't call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. It demanded it. And that was supported by close to 160 countries. So on two occasions, New Zealand has found itself within the two-thirds majority within the General Assembly that have voted for resolutions calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. So in the UN, New Zealand has been pretty proactive and positive, but that has not translated to asking the United States, which has used its veto to block demands for a ceasefire. It should be recalled the Biden administration exercised its veto on October the 18th, December the 8th, and February 2024 to block UN resolutions calling for humanitarian pauses or immediate ceasefires. And indeed, although the US sponsored a ceasefire proposal, the UN in the UN Security Council, which was adopted on June the 10th, it's done little other than exhort the Netanyahu government to comply with what is a legally binding resolution. So in short, New Zealand's UN diplomacy has been constructive, but it hasn't really publicly questioned why the United States has opposed the New Zealand stance in the UN.
So just going off of what you've said, there are many people who've said that the New Zealand government would have little impact if it took a more firm stance on the war in Gaza. Do you think this is true?
No. New Zealand sees itself as a plucky little country which defied the United States over non-nuclear security, which refused the government of Helen Clark refused to support the illegal invasion of Iraq in 2003. And also, New Zealand's international profile has grown substantially since those developments in the mid-80s and 2003. The response of the Ardern government to terrorist atrocity in Christchurch on the 15th of March 2019 was widely admired internationally. Also, New Zealand's response to COVID-19, which in terms of the loss of life was one of the most successful in the world, was widely admired. So, in short, New Zealand's international profile has grown. And we live in an interconnected world, which is increasingly digitally independent, so to speak. And that means that ideas matter. And it's important that countries like New Zealand walk the talk when it comes to their diplomacy. And one of the reasons that people question New Zealand's stance is because although it disagreed with the United States in the UN over Gaza, it was happy to accept a request from the United States, which had been opposing New Zealand's diplomacy in the UN, for a New Zealand Defence Force team, I think about six personnel, deal with the illegal activities of the Houthis in the Red Sea. And the problem with that is that while the activities of the Houthis in the Red Sea attacking commercial shipping, yes, of course that's illegal, but that is, if you like, a spin-off, a derivative from the lawless situation in Gaza. So in short, we are prepared to take firm action to uphold the rule of law in the Red Sea. We haven't shown quite the same degree of resolution with respect to Gaza.
Do you think that New Zealand's current stance on the war in Gaza has had an impact on our reputation overseas?
It certainly hasn't done us a lot of good, and it's not too late to put it right. It is pretty late. I mean, after all, we have a situation. Let's be quite clear. The situation in Gaza is a stain on humanity. A dreadful terrorist attack on the 7th of October by Hamas, which killed 1,200 Israelis and saw 240 innocent people taken hostage, prompted an unrelenting ground and air offensive by the Netanyahu government. And the results have been unbelievably awful. According to the United Nations, about 69% of the more than 40,000 Palestinians killed are thought to be women and children. And in particular, it's estimated at least 15,000 children have been killed during the Israeli bombardment of Gaza. Now, two wrongs don't make a right. The Hamas attack on Israel was a war crime, but arguably the Israeli response has not complied with humanitarian law. And it's important, I think, in terms of New Zealand's reputation, we see ourselves as a good international citizen. We're a society that prides itself on a fair go. We also, our founding document, the Treaty of Waitangi, envisages partnership between indigenous Maori and European settlers, and that the credibility of our founding document domestically depends on our ability externally to uphold respect for international human rights and the rule of law.
So finally, what does New Zealand need to do to clarify its stance on the war in Gaza?
Well, Professor Al Gillespie at Waikato University and I have been quite clear about this. We recently wrote a short piece for The Conversation, and we said that New Zealand really needs to do three things. Above all, the summary of our position is that New Zealand government has to participate and adhere to the judgments and orders and advice emerging from the International Court of Justice, top court in the world. Three things. Firstly, it needs to join South Africa's ICGA action. New Zealand should join other Western countries, including Spain, Ireland and Belgium, and involve itself in South Africa's case in the ICJ against Israel. Secondly, it needs to be consistent on Gaza with its position on Ukraine. New Zealand needs to add its support to the ICJ order of the May 24th, which is really calling for Israel not to do anything that would be construed or plausibly construed as genocide. It's interesting that New Zealand certainly has been proactive with regard to Ukraine and contributed and supported the courts, the International Criminal Court's calls for accountability. With regard to the third point, the ICJ gave recently advice on the occupied Palestinian territory, and we believe that New Zealand should follow the advice of the ICJ's recent advisory opinion. And the court concluded that Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territories is unlawful. These are the territories which were seized as a result of the 1967 war. They include the West Bank, Gaza. Israel disengaged from Gaza in 2005, but it also includes East Jerusalem. And so this whole question that New Zealand really needs to not only talk about supporting a two-state solution in which the desire for political self-determination of the Palestinians is reconciled with a secure Israeli state, but it's important that there is this territorial space for a two-state solution to occur. And the situation in the West Bank has been that there's been a steady increasing Israeli presence in that territory. The ICJ says that has to end. And so, in a sense, New Zealand, I think, needs to follow the example of other Western countries in upholding the ICJ's rulings and advice.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.